welcome. Yes, absolutely. Praise Jesus. Absolutely. Welcome to Cathedral Church. It's good to have you. We got a great day ahead of for you. But how awesome is it to get into the presence of God? His word says that when we get in his presence, things are broken, things are taken care of. He is a person who cares about the smallest thing in your life to the biggest thing in your life. And if he has touched you in some kind of way where your presence was felt this morning, can you give him a little hand clap of praise? Absolutely. Come on. Absolutely. Church, you can be seated. Got a few announcements for you this morning. First off, I am pleased to say we got on deck this morning for you, Pastor Megan Turner. Yeah, absolutely. Have you guys ever met someone or met with someone, gone out to eat with someone, you walk away and you just say, good, they are a fresh breath of air. They are just intoxicating. There's something about them that is just, you don't know, but you're drawn to them. Well, that is Megan, and she is going to bring you one of the greatest things that I love about her is that she makes the word come alive. So go ahead and be ready to receive just a fantastic word, and you are going to walk out of here just ready for not only this week, but a part of your DNA that is just hopefully forever changing. So she's going to bring that word for you just a second. Announcement I have for you this morning, if you'll put up on the screens, we got River Dogs that are coming up. We are going to take over their entire campus, okay? What they're doing is called Holy City Sundays, and so they're highlighting us as a church, and so we'll get to take over the entire place. And so a couple ways that you can partner with us, you just come. We'll be doing everything from the pitch to singing the national anthem. They'll be talking about us with different announcements, so it's just a great way where we can come together and just have some fun. The other part is anybody who comes to the game that weekend is going to hear about our church. Maybe sit by the people who go to our church. And so it's just a great way to get out in the community, let them know about us, and find out a little bit more. Who knows? We'll have some people who come just because of that game. And so the ways you can sign up for that is if you look on here, if you go to wearecathedral.com/riverdogs, you can go onto the site, put in that password there that you see, Praise 2016, and you'll get a few things. One, we put the wrong price on there, so I'm getting ready to save y'all some money. Anybody likes saving some money? You get it. It's for $7. It's not $8. So there you go. You got an extra dollar this week in your budget. So fantastic. A couple other things that you get just because we're partnering with them. It's free parking. Okay. So anybody who's been to the game, that again saves you $5 right there. And if you have children, bring them with because you get to eat for free. The children do. Not us. I wish we could. But at least the children get to eat for free. So dinner's on them that night. One less thing that you got to worry about. But we're going to have a blast. Next weekend in our foyer, Charlie the River Dog, their mascot, is going to be with us. You'll see him. You'll be able to buy tickets next weekend. Or you can go ahead, if you're a planner and you want to get it ahead of time, you can go to this website, sign up, and enjoy that game with us. All right? All right. Got a couple announcements. Take a look at the screen, and we'll get this service started.
Well, I promise we will laugh a lot. I'm going to try really hard to not cry, but I can't promise you anything. Because it's something that, for me, it means a lot to me. When I look around the room and I look at people and I get to share stories, and I did this last service, and just looking at you, and I really can share about so many of you, but like Brad, who's on the light booth right now. Do you know that Brad was like 7? And I think I was, you don't like it, he doesn't like when I draw attention to him. So don't look at him, y'all don't look at him. But Brad, when we bought this building, when we moved as a church into this building, and so we did like a complete renovation of this building, and our parents were here all day and all night, and so me and Brad and Ryan and Macy and a bunch of us, we would play up in these classrooms, and I was the teacher and Brad was the student, and so I would make him sit there and write his ABCs and do all that kind of fun stuff. And I see, like, we've got Chris and Lori. I remember when Chris was deployed for a year, and I remember that. I remember how devastated it was. I remember I started dating Luke, and he didn't even know the notorious Chris Stefanoff in our life, who medically takes care of every crisis that comes up, day or night, middle of the night, early in the morning. We call him. Luke had never met him. The last service where there was a guy sitting in this section, and it was me and his daughter. They got caught with cigarettes when we were 12 years old. There was a guy sitting in this section. His name was Will. Last service, and we came to like a college small group one time, and he was like, hey, you're Megan. I saw you Thursday night at Club Tango. And I was like, no, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't see that. He was like, no, I saw you on the dance floor at Club Taylor. I was like, no, really, I'm the preacher's kid. I don't cut at the club. And so there's people all around. I really could go on and on. Ben, sitting on the front row right here, we have the best story of him above all. Ben has been here since he was literally born. He was kind of like birthed here. And there was a time when he was like 9 months old where his dad was away with the military and his mom was really sick. She couldn't take care of him. So mom and dad took him for the weekend. Well, he was a baby. And so mom needed a bath. So they hopped in the shower together. She washed him off, handed him out to dad. So I love to play the game Never Have I Ever, because you can always get Ben with Never Have I Ever Showered with the Preacher's Wife. And it gets Ben every time. And so there's just fun stories of doing life together. And it is a value that my mom instilled into me and my sister. I can remember growing up when we would fight or we would scrap. She would say, y'all are going to be best friends. At the end of the day, that is your best friend, no matter what we were doing. I remember one time I was going on a date. She wasn't old enough to date yet. And I wanted to wear the green shirt that was hers that she happened to have on. And so she wouldn't give it to me. So I decided that I was going to take it from her. And Macy has always been physically stronger than I am. But that never has ever stopped me, nor will it ever. And so we were literally like wrestling on the ground upstairs, and she's calling dad at the church. She's like, you have to come home. I've never seen them do anything like this before. And she's like, y'all are best friends. You are. Tell each other three things that you love each other about each other right now. And we're just fighting. And it was a big deal to her that we are best friends. Some fun friend quotes that I found are, friends are like the bacon bits in the salad bowl of life. I love bacon. That spoke to me. Men kick friendship around like a football, but it doesn't seem to crack. Women treat friendship like glass, and it seems to go all to pieces. Aristotle said, the antidote of 50 enemies is one friend. There is nothing like a friend. We've all heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together. And the truth is, who you do life with really does. You can look at who you do life with, and you can really see the trajectory of where your life is going and what you will become and the type of person you will be. When you look through scripture, there is tons and tons and tons of verses that I could pick to reference friendship. Just a few that I chose to highlight this morning were 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be misled by bad company, it corrupts good character. How many of you had that friend in high school and your mom was always like, I do not like her. I do not know what it is about her, but I do not like her. And I'm like, Mom, no, she's so much fun. No, I do not like her. And Mom was always right. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Luke has been sharpening me for a long time now. Somebody last service hollered out, you've been sharpening him. Just saying. She said it, not me. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I want to look at two different friendships, examples of friendships in scripture this morning that I think say a lot to us. The first that I want to talk about is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I'm gonna read to you some of the scripture of their story, but I don't have it on the screen because I really want you to focus on what I'm saying about it. And I know some of y'all be reading all ahead of me, and if I say one word wrong or mispronounce it, it's going to shut you down. So I'm going to read it for you. Is that a deal? All right. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is where I'm going to start. And these are three men, and let me just set up a little bit of what's going on. So they have been given like a certain amount of political power. The king at the time is King Nebuchadnezzar, and he has decided with some counsel of his that he is going to set up a large golden idol of himself. And that everybody is going to bow when all of the trumpets and the horns blow, everybody's going to bow to this idol. And whoever does not bow is going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. He's quite the leader. I mean, we feel like that Trump and Hillary is a tough choice. Just be thankful that it's not Nebuchadnezzar, right? So he has the trumpets blow, everybody bows except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't bow. So King Nebuchadnezzar calls for them. They come in and he says, if you do not bow, we are going to have a problem. I am going to throw you in that fiery furnace and I'm going to give you one more chance. And their response back to him is, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the cause, our God, whom we serve, we, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will never, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We. No, I don't know. And maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have done just fine on their own. But I know personally, I get some of my best friends up here on the first and second row, and if you're going to throw me into a fiery furnace, I would love for them to go with me. Right? I mean, really, like that's, when you think about what really happened, and it does, that's exactly what happens. So they say to him, we are not scared of you. We will not bow down. We serve our God. We do not serve you. And doing life together, you know, it's easy to find people to just coexist with. But people that are going to be around you that when faced with adversity and faced with difficult decisions and faced with temptations, they're going to stand with you. And now all of a sudden, what is right becomes the easier choice. That there's strength in the friends that you have around you. And so they don't bow. And the king brings his strongest soldiers up and they throw them in the fiery furnace. They actually die throwing them in there. It's so hot, the soldiers. The king looks in there a little while later and he says, didn't we throw three people in there? Because I'm pretty sure I'm looking at four. Sure enough, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the heat, not only do they have each other, but the presence of God was right there with them. I mean, you know what it's like to be in the fire and you feel like everything is burning around you and you feel like everybody's lost their mind and they're bound to other things and it is so hard to stand. And now not only do you have your ride or die people with you, but now God is right there in the midst of you. Next story I want to share with you is in the book of 2 Samuel. All right, 2 Samuel 13. Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amon, the son of David, loved her. Amon was so distressed. I want you to get this picture, right? This is what Luke looked like before he got me. Amon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. I mean, like, he loved her so much. He was physically sick. Right, baby? Okay. All right, so listen, he was physically sick, but she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amon to do anything to her. Okay? So that's where he is. I love her. I'm literally physically sick with love over this girl, but it is improper for me to do anything with her because she is a virgin and we are not married. That is his stance. Okay? Later on in scripture, you go down, he says to King David, I'm sick. He fakes like he's sick. And he says, I think the only thing that would make me feel better is if you would get Tamar to bring food to me. Tamar brings food to him. He makes all of the servants leave the room and he eats the food. She feeds it to him and he rapes her. Immediately when he rapes her, he is disgusted with her. His love turns to hate. He kicks her out of the room. She's shamed. She can never be married again. She's been violated. What happened? What happened? Who did he do life with? Because we saw what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me tell you what happened. When you back up and you go to verse 3, remember, I just read this to you. And it was improper for Amon to do anything to her. Verse 3. But Amon had a friend. But he had a friend. A friend. Who he did life with. Do you have a friend? Who do you do life with? Because you've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you've got Amon and Tamar. That is the power in doing life together. But he had, no, his friend didn't say, no. All you have to do is go talk to the king. You know the king will grant you her hand in marriage and she will be all yours. Because when you read it, that's what Tamar says to him. Why are you doing this? You know that the king would grant this wish. Why are you doing it this way? Why are you violating me? Where has your character gone? Why are you not the godly man that you were? Because he had a friend. Because he had a friend. How do you decide who you do life with? I was listening whenever I was getting ready for this message to T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes rocks my world, right? And one day, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to preach and Jan's going to play the organ and y'all are going to holler really loud after every good point that I make, right? Yeah. So, I mean, they like stand up and they wave their hands in the air. Yeah, I mean, they are in it. So I'm in it, right? I'm listening to this message. I'm running around my bedroom, hollering, agreeing with everything he says. And he starts talking about friendships. And he starts talking about different types of people, right? Because even Jesus, when he was here on earth, he picked people to do life with. He had 12 people that he said, these are the people I choose to do life with. Let me just make this point really quick. Everybody around you is not a safe person for you to do life with. Amen? All right, Jesus didn't feel the need, as holy and perfect as he was. He did not feel the need to put every person into his inner circle, and neither should you, okay? So he had 12 people. He picked 3 people out of that of those 12 to be his closest people, all right? How do you pick your people? How do you do this? Because it sounds good, and it sounds well, and I get it. I want to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to have a good friend. You decide who you're going to make that person, and then you invest in them. You invest the time and the energy and the effort to make the relationship work. You have 2 types of people, according to T.D. Jakes. Ready? Let's go T.D. Jakes for about 5 minutes. All right, the first kind you have is a confidant, all right? A confidant, you're lucky if you find 2 or 3 of these people, or you're blessed. I shouldn't say lucky. You're blessed to find 2 or 3 of these people in your entire life. These are your ride or die people. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they love you. There is nothing you can do to change that. They love you. If you go to jail, either A, they are with you, or B, they are right there to bail you out, right? I mean, they are your, yeah. Okay, here's another thing about these people, about a confidant. Your dream is safe with them. Because your dream, they can dream for you instead of wanting it to be their dream. You know what I'm saying? You know what people I'm talking about? All right, so this person wants you to succeed. This person is all up in your business. I mean, they know everything about you. They know who you're talking to. They know where you've been, where you haven't been, and they will tell you, they will get in your face when they need to. And it might make you mad for a season. But you know the only reason that they are that way is because they love you. Right? That's what you do life together. I got a friend over here on the second row. I'm not going to look that way because she's not going to like this. She's single. Ain't nobody going to show up sitting next to her on that second row until I give her the okay for him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And she might get mad, but I do not care. I don't care if she is mad at me at all because I love her. Right? So these are your confidants, people, right? Those are the ones that will confront you. They love you. They're your David and Jonathan from the Bible. They are it, your ride or die. Number 2 type of people are your constituents. Now, hear me close. Your constituents are not for you. They are for what you are for, or they are for what you have. But oftentimes, without a great amount of discernment, a constituent can be mistaken as a comrade. Really, really different. And what happens when you take a constituent, I'm sorry, and make them a confidant, what happens is now you get hurt. And hurt people hurt people. And so now you're at a broken place trying to make healthy friendships and relationships. What you've got to do is you've got to learn to pray. You've got to learn how to discern. You've got to learn to judge character. That iron sharpens iron. You look at their life and you say, is their life something that I want my life to look like? Do they make choices and decisions that I wish that I had the strength and the courage to make? And then you do for them what a true confidant would do, and the relationship will work. Now, these constituents, they will leave you as soon as they find someone that is better than you. And you can't share your true dreams with them because before you know it, your dream just became their dream. And what you have, they're really not wanting for you. They want to have it for themselves. Here's a really good sign of a constituent. They are always there for you to have a shoulder to cry on. When things in your world are going bad, they are there. But when things are going good, they're so jealous they can't see straight. You know, I would like to have some fun with you and introduce you to a few of my confidants. I have a few here this morning, but I'm going to highlight three. And I thought that it would be fun for us to play a game of how well do you know me, right? Y'all want to play? How well I do life with these people? So I'm going to bring my sister, Macy, one of my best friends, Liz, and my husband, Luke, and we're going to play a game. Now, let me just say this so I can let you know a little bit about them. All three of them at separate times asked me if I would please rig the game so they would win.
At 11:30 last night.
They all.
Just give me a few of the questions you're gonna ask.
Yes. None of them. I have not given any of them the questions. Now
and
let me
really
just say
hard.
This.
They're really hard.
Yeah.
Questions.
The questions are really to stump questions. Them. I am trying to stump them, right? Because that's a lot more fun than if
this
they.
This doesn't
just...
define how well we are our
right.
friendship.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna.
See,
move
I'm this. At a disadvantage because I'm the husband. If I get them wrong, people are gonna shame me.
Yeah. They're gonna judge. They're gonna.
I have a problem listening sometimes.
They're gonna judge you, babe. You gotta
judge
get
me
this.
I don't love you.
All right. Are you ready? So they're gonna write the answer so that y'all can see.
Nervous.
All right. Last time we're gonna try to be as appropriate as we can.
That falls on the question asker.
All right, you ready? Question number one. Do I like the smell of gasoline? I'll just preference the last time they got one or two right.
One
no,
and a half.
Yes.
One and a half.
Yes. The answer is no. But I love how the nail salon smells.
Nail
you don't
salon.
Like gasoline?
Food!
Nah.
Nailed it!
Try not to smell it!
I thought you might have gas.
I hate it. I'm always like, babe,
God.
Close the door.
God, yeah. I like it.
Me too.
Okay.
I like it too.
Number two, have I ever failed a class?
Oh. Does this include the time that we make cookies
no.
in the 10th grade? To make sure that didn't happen?
Yes.
You
no.
have?
No, I haven't failed a class.
Yes. No. We failed the same marriage class. In your daddy's church.
I did think that Bo and Alice were going to kick us out. Because you couldn't stop laughing. Not because of... All right. Number next. For some reason, I feel like it just got hot. Okay. How many times did I go to prom?
Oh, my gosh. How can we count? That was a lot. Oh, I shouldn't give that away.
11. 6. 7.
7.
7. It was kind of a ministry.
Close. Am I the closest?
Kind of like if you didn't have a date, then... We work out.
You're so
all right,
sweet.
If I were to learn, and this is really hard. If
oh,
I were to learn another language, what would I learn?
Don't be peeking because I nailed this one.
You did it good.
Got it.
I don't know.
All right. You can put some.
You want me to just tell you?
Yeah,
I
just,
don't know. I kind of have to
just, say, just say it.
Italian or French?
Italian or French. Let's look and see what it says.
What is it?
He's on fire.
I didn't even
okay,
think about
all right,
that.
You ready?
That is so true.
What does this mean?
What is
that means that she told you. Y'all ready?
I did not. No, I did not. All right, number
oh,
five.
My goodness.
Will I vote?
Oh.
Oh,
gosh.
Will I vote? Yes. Yes, yes.
Did we get it right?
If I'm breathing.
Breathing.
All right, number six. Right. What famous person did I ride in an elevator with?
Oh.
We're not going to tell a story?
Yes, we should tell a story. They should know the story.
All right, you ready? Turn around.
That's what I thought.
Hulk Hogan.
Did we all get it right?
Yeah, I got it right. I can't remember his name.
I did. Tell us. I'm just going to say he is a lot larger in person than he is.
I feel like we're doing way better.
They look kind of like a Rottweiler.
They should hear that story one day.
Okay. My favorite pastime. Babe?
Yes.
Pastime?
We are in church. Just because Dad is out of town, we are still in church.
My answer is right, whether you put it up there or not.
Oh, gosh. I mean, pastime, that's kind of, yeah. I'm going to keep it good.
Somebody over here just got it right.
Okay.
All right, tournament.
Shopping.
Shopping.
Smoking!
Babe, that is not true.
From Q-tips, Meg has characters. And she loves to go in this character with this girl with the cigarette, and she, you ought to do it for her.
She always says, I really do wish I was a smoker. At the ladies' retreat,
you saw it at the ladies' retreat.
If I was a pastor, I would smoke.
Okay.
What is it? Let's see.
So you're not coming back up on the stage. All right. I accidentally eat some radioactive vegetables. They were good. And what's even cooler is that they endowed me with the superpower of my choice. What is that power?
What was the right answer for that last one? Yeah, what was the answer?
Shopping.
Okay.
Shopping with a close second being a massage.
Oh, gosh. I feel like you still do a lot. Okay. All right. Now, tell me the question
again. Yeah, can we read this?
If I had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, man.
Gosh.
That's the look of be nice. Okay.
No, you're good. I just want to. You got to write something down.
It is. I feel a lot of pressure for a superhero.
Well, I definitely wouldn't have to work out. That's for sure.
What did you say? I'm Darnie Boatman. What did you say?
Shop without money.
All right.
Oh, that is what really good.
Shop without money. That's great.
I would be able to get all the animals.
Heal all animals. Those are really good. I'd definitely be invisible.
You can gather them up.
Oh, invisible?
Invisible.
Gosh, that's a good one. To be that's invisible, that
yeah,
is fun.
That's a good one. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Number 9, what is my current desktop picture on my computer?
Oh.
I'm just going to say 3, and y'all are going to flip them around, okay?
Okay.
Kids?
I don't know.
Girls?
No, that's not what I was going to put.
Oh, my future kitchen. Yeah. That's good. That's the closest.
I bet it's a good one.
Probably right.
No, girls? It is my mom and dad.
Aww. Oh, God, that's sweet.
That was, we suck
that
again.
Was none of us right.
I don't think you can say that on stage. Okay, number 10. Have I ever kissed anybody in the rain?
Have you ever kissed anybody in the rain?
Yes.
Including me? Or have I ever seen you kiss anybody? Because I know that answer too.
Baby. No. Yes.
How many have you kissed in the rain? Is it better?
Yes. The answer is no. I hate
it. Yes. She hates the rain. She hates the rain. She's not going to be in the rain.
I'm not, if it's raining, I'm going inside. I'm not
Y'all
kissing.
Know when it rains, Meg hides under the stairs.
Yeah, no, I don't.
With only with bad storms.
It rains.
Bad
all right. What was my favorite toy? This last question. What was my favorite toy as a child?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that one. We'll see. Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, Liz.
A bag of rice, babies and Barbies, a cash register. Yeah. It was a baby doll.
Baby doll.
Luke's is, when I would go to the grocery store, I pretend like the bag of rice was a baby.
So mine won?
You won. You won, babe. You won.
Oh, no. Luke.
Thank y'all. Y'all are
Luke.
Yes. I think the moral of the story is we're not really good friends.
No, babe. Okay. So, here's what I want to do. I want to leave you with the concept that oftentimes it's easy to look in on other relationships and wish that you had what you see. But you have the power to do life with other people in a way that will forever change them. And I want you to take a look at this video at this one boy and this one man and how their relationship together forever changed because of his decision. Here's what I believe. I believe that when the fall happened, and Adam and Eve sinned, and then life carried on. I think the enemy's plan for that day and for today would be to keep you and I deaf to the people that God would want to put in our life. Because the worst thing that we can live all of our life doing is thinking what we think about ourselves. And I listen to that story, and I think if that man, the teacher, who had a hurt, who had malaria, would have not used it to help somebody else, then where would Patrick be? I know hurt people hurt people. And I know that doing life together sometimes can be really hard. But I think truly, if the enemy can keep you isolated, then I think you really will miss so much of what God has for you in this season. When I say do life together, I mean dig in and do life together. I don't mean time. Doing life together isn't just filling somebody's time and somebody that you go and do with. There's so much more to that. It's finding true confidants. I remember whenever I was a senior in high school and we had a house fire and Dad was burned. I remember when we were in the hospital and he'd gotten an infection and he just was down. You know, when you've been fighting so long and you've been sick and you just feel down. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to call PH. We were in Augusta. And he said, I want you to tell him to come up here because I need him to pray for me and my family. And I remember watching BH lap the outside for an entire day. He walked the perimeter of that hospital and he prayed against everything that the enemy had to come against Dad. And that's what you need. You need somebody, when something goes wrong, who are your friends praying for you? Are they warring for you? Are they believing with you? Because that is what we believe at Cathedral is one of our core values that you will establish in this place. I can look around the room, and again, it's not about time, but it's about quality. And I can go on and on and on about story after story. Misty, you know, I remember when Misty called and told us that she was pregnant with Hannah. She was actually my team leader, Misty was. I remember when Hannah was born. Now she's 21 years old. I remember whenever Misty found out she was pregnant with Grayson. I remember when Misty went to her 20-week appointment, her ultrasound. And she said, I need y'all to be at the house waiting for me when I get back. Then she had learned that Grayson had Down syndrome and several other medical difficulties that they had to overcome. Actually, for 800 days in Boston at the Children's Hospital, 800 days. And I remember when she would fly back and forth, and when she would come back here, she would come sit by my hospital bed when I was pregnant. I remember the day that a lot of us stood there in the airport when Grayson finally came home. I remember I was the first one to pick him up and put him in his crib at home for the first time. I remember when Hannah graduated from high school. I remember this past week on Thursday night when Misty called me and told me Hannah got in a car accident. She's okay. And I called her and I said, honestly, were you playing Pokemon? I need to know. I won't tell your mom. And that Hannah rushed home from her car accident so that Misty could come to practice on Thursday night because Misty means so much for Misty to be here for me on my weekend to speak that she's up here with me. And it's not because we're on staff. It's not just, it's because we chose to do life together. I'm looking at Ben. I remember when Ben was up here at the altar when he was in 11th grade because his mom and dad had separated. I remember him on his face weeping and watching Luke pick him up and grab his hands in his face. I remember when Ben met Whitney. And I remember when Ben and Whitney were dating and then they broke up and then they dated and they broke up and they dated and they dated some more, broke up some more. I remember the day that I had Hadley and they hadn't spoken in like a year. And my mom said, well, Whitney needs to go home. Ben, you take her home. She said, they need to work that out. From that day forward, I remember the day they got married. I remember sprinkling roses out when they got engaged. I remember the day that they went to the doctor and found out they had a miscarriage. I remember them coming home and us praying for that baby and saying, God, we know you've got that baby. And so until we get to heaven, you take care of it. We found out she was going to have a little boy. And then he was born at 30 weeks. I remember when he came home from the hospital. I remember helping Ben get suited up to go in there for the C-section, not knowing what was going to happen at 30 weeks. And really, I could go on and on and on. But it's quality. It's comrades. It's when I can't, you can. It's when I'm laying in the bed, you walk the perimeter. When I can't wage the war, you wage it with me. It's when somebody threatens to throw me in the fire, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going in there with me. And at the end of this life, somebody's gonna look and say about Cathedral, they had a friend. They had each other. You guys can stand up. It's 2016. And a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of really dark, scary stuff has happened. And what I know is that God Almighty is still on the throne and he is still in control. And when everything went to hell in a handbasket whenever Jesus was crucified and everything seemed like it was all gone, he came back and he established his church. And that is what you are. You are his church. And in 2016, he said, I know what's going to be happening, and I'm going to draw back an arrow, and I'm going to release it into this economy, into this society, into this world, into this day, and this time, and this place. And because of them, people will know what it's like to do community and to do life together. So I encourage you as you go. If you're not involved, get involved. If you don't have friends, make friends. If you want a place to get connected, right out here in the foyer is the hub. Find one of the pastors, find one of us, and you tell them, I need to do life with somebody. Can you help me get connected? Serve with them. Come be a part of the guest service team. Come be a part of the children's ministry. Come be a part of the production team. Come make your life revolve around people and with people that will change the trajectory of you and your children's children and your children's children and every generation to come because you chose to cooperate and to be a part of one of our core values, which is doing life together. Amen? Hey, and I love doing life with you. Y'all let me say what I want to say, do what I want to say, and you know, you let my husband get on stage and say what he wants to say. May the Lord keep you and bless you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I bless you with rich, true, life-giving relationships. And I pray that in Jesus' name, any friendship that you have that is toxic, that the Lord will reveal that to you and give you the immediate, wonderful way out and replace them with life-giving relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great week. Get some food.